What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And welcome to our show today. It is Thursday, October 14th, 2021. Thank goodness. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. We're also almost to the midpoint of the month here, so we're definitely getting into autumn here. And the leaves are starting to turn here in Indiana. Anyway, it's another busy news day. We've got a lot to talk about. We're going to try and jam as much as we can in before we open the phone lines for your comments, questions, observations, and opinions. Mike is in our control room twiddling the dials and keeping us out of trouble. So let's get right on into it. First, a little historical note. On this date in 1947, Chuck Yeager, who at the time was a 24-year-old captain, broke the sound barrier in the Bell X-1 rocket plane going past 660 miles per hour. And prior to that time, a lot of aviation engineers thought that the sound barrier was this unbreakable wall in the sky, that if you tried to exceed it, it would destroy your aircraft. And during World War II, a lot of aircraft that had gotten very close to the speed of sound had gone out of control and crashed. But the Bell X-1 succeeded in doing it and basically opened up the age to supersonic travel. The Bell X-1 was named the Glamorous Glynis after Chuck Yeager's wife, Glynis. And they were married for a long time, but she came down ill, and x-rays had only really started being used medically, and so they kept x-raying her and x-raying her and x-raying her and x-raying, not realizing that they were, in fact, causing a lot more damage than good, and she ultimately died, essentially, of radiation sickness there. On the 50th anniversary of the breaking of the sound barrier, I had the very great pleasure of going up to Edwards Air Force Base, where they held a little bit of a celebration in which Yeager basically repeated his flight, although in a much more modern aircraft. And I got to, you know, meet him and briefly talk with him. And he seemed like a genuinely nice guy. And so anyway, a little bit of history there. All righty, getting on to politics here. Joe Biden was interviewed by an Australian TV host for the Australian Broadcasting Company and really did not do very well. In fact, the host said he really shouldn't be allowed out of bed. Biden just rambled back and forth, and really it just fueled speculation that the president is a few French fries short of a Happy Meal here. Now, Tucker Carlson did a segment on the Let's Go Brandon chants that are popping up all around the nation. And if you're not up to speed on what that is, there are the F Joe Biden chants that were happening, and one was happening during a sporting event, and the NBC commentator tried to say, oh, no, no, they're not saying F you, Joe Biden, they're saying, let's go, Brandon. And so it's kind of a thumbing of the nose at the corporate media and their rather pathetic propaganda. Everyone is saying, let's go, Brandon, knowing what it really actually does mean. All right, sometime today, and it may have happened, but I haven't heard yet, Joe Biden's special commission studying changes to the U.S. Supreme Court is supposed to release their preliminary draft report today, and you know, they're looking at ideas of expanding the Supreme Court beyond its current 6-3 conservative majority. They're also looking at term limits. Now, progressives who are out there saying, yes, let's load up the Supreme Court, they may find themselves a little frustrated because the Supreme Court Commission can't endorse anything. They're not actually charged with making recommendations. All they do is make an appraisal of the merits and legality of the particular reform proposal. So even when the final report comes out later this year, nothing is actually going to happen short of congressional legislation to reform the Supreme Court. Now, unfortunately, the number of Supreme Court justices is not codified in the Constitution, and it has changed several times throughout history. One of the most significant changes, of course, is that there always be an odd number of justices on the Supreme Court to avoid a tie vote, which would be problematic here. So that's what's happening there. Now, Jen Psaki, whatever they're paying her, it is not enough, because she's standing up there making all of these ridiculous statements, trying to cover for both Bidens, and it must be a very, very difficult job, and it's hard to feel sorry for her, because after all, she did want the job, and you know, she's free to step down any time. But Jen Psaki chided a reporter for asking about Hunter Biden's art arrangement, and did it represent a conflict of interest? And Psaki just sort of dismissed this. This is silly. There's nothing there. And this led Obama's former ethics chief to slam Psaki, saying that the administration's dismissive attitude is disappointing. Now, in theory, and I stress this is the theory, Hunter Biden is not being told the identity of those who purchase his artworks from that gallery out in Los Angeles, which, by the way, once they started showing Hunter Biden's artwork, they got some COVID relief funds, something a couple of hundred thousand, as I understand it. But in theory, they're not being told who is buying the artwork, and therefore Hunter Biden can't go to daddy and say, you know, be nice to these people. But as I explained earlier, it's really very easy for the people buying this, you'll pardon the expression, artwork, to communicate that they've done so. They just need to hang it on the wall behind them when they get in touch with the White House and get their picture in the newspaper. And Joe Biden's going to see that artwork and say, aha, I owe this person a favor. So, you know, it's blatant conflict of interest and corruption. And the artwork certainly is not worth the money that is being paid for it. And in the end, it's a gigantic scam. And ultimately, you're going to wind up paying for it. Because what's going to happen is these individuals and corporations who bought the artwork are going to get it appraised at a ridiculously high value. And then they're going to donate it to some museum somewhere. And then they'll be able to take that money off their income taxes. See how it all works. So they're not even really trying all that hard to hide the corruption here. All righty. The Boston Marathon bombing case is back in front of the United States Supreme Court. And Dzhokhar Tsarnaev had been convicted in a trial that was rather notable for his defense attorney walking in and saying, he's guilty, he did it, which is not what you expect a defense attorney to do. And he was sentenced to death, but there was a lower court ruling that stayed the death sentence and opened up the possibility that maybe Dzhokhar Tsarnaev did not get a fair trial. And so it's gone to the Supreme Court, and the Biden administration is pushing on the Supreme Court to reinstate the death sentence for Dzhokhar Tsarnaev. Which is kind of interesting because Joe Biden has always said he is opposed to the death penalty. And if you look for this story at whatreallyhappened.com, I included this photograph that shows the remains of the two bombs that were set off during the Boston Marathon. They're both black. There is an easily recognizable rectangular white patch visible in those photos. Photos of the Tsarnaev brothers show them wearing gray backpacks. And there was another individual dressed in a black jacket and khaki pants, clearly wearing a backpack with a white rectangle on top. That same individual was photographed after the bombs went off without the backpack. And still other photos showed this individual with a group of men all dressed identically, like that black jacket and the khaki pants were some kind of an identifying uniform. That right there is reasonable doubt. And the way our system is supposed to work is guilt must be proven beyond a reasonable doubt. And that little image I put together, that's the reasonable doubt right there. If I'd been a defense attorney, I could have gotten Zokhar Tsarnaev off on that basis alone. And I hope somebody will get that image to Tsarnaev's current attorneys or the Supreme Court before there's another major miscarriage of justice like we saw with Bruno Richard Hauptmann and Leonard Peltier and Mumia Abu-Jamal. And the list is endless here. Getting on to the January 6th protest, Adam Schiff is saying that anybody defying the January 6th subpoenas will be held in criminal contempt. They're out there talking tough. They're on a fishing expedition here. And Steve Bannon has already gone public saying, no, he is invoking executive privilege and he will not honor the subpoena. And the January 6th committee is saying, well, we're going to come after you. The January 6th committee also subpoenaed pro-election fraud. Well, this is a biased headline. They subpoenaed Department of Justice lawyer Jeffrey Clark for basically trying to look into the irregularities of the 2020 election. So, again, it's a fishing expedition. Now, there was a group called Women for America First who helped organize the January 6th Trump rally. They're now under assault by the January 6th committee. The January 6th committee is going after anybody who was in the same time zone as that protest and rally. Yesterday we were reporting they're going after people who were just standing nearby. Okay? So anyway, getting on to other politics here. It does seem that there is here and there a few conservative billionaires, and tech billionaire Peter Thiel is helping to fund opponents to the Never Trump lawmakers who voted to impeach President Trump. And this is going to be bad news for Liz Cheney. And, you know, Peter, you know, please support conservative media. What can I tell you here? Little bit of good news, out in Iowa, they had a special House election, and it was won by a Republican, John Dunwell, and this flipped a Newton-based district that has been a Democratic stronghold for years. And Dunwell led Democrat Steve Mullen with 60% of the vote, a difference of 930 votes, according to the Jasper County Auditor's Office. Now, the results are still unofficial until they're certified by the Jasper County Board of Supervisors, and they're still working at that. And, oh, my goodness, we just found another box of ballots stuck in a closet that nobody counted for the Democrat here. All right, Ann Coulter is commenting on what she calls the Chicagoization of American criminal justice. Chicago is just this virtual war zone. And Anne is saying this is not a Chicago story. It's a Democratic Party story. Kim Fox, the state's attorney for Cook County and a darling of MSNBC, has managed to increase the murder rate in Chicago to very high levels at a time when we're all getting used to astounding crime figures. So, I mean, the crime not only went up, it went up by an amount to really stand out from the rest. And, yeah, it's out of control there. So, yeah, let's defund the police and disarm the American people, and everything will just work out all for itself here. Interesting little article. This came out of VoltaireNet. And they are also under attack by the powers that be. But they basically did an expose of the influence that Facebook exerts over the voting public through Facebook itself, Instagram, Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, Oculus, Workplace Portal, Novi. And they even have their own currency. Facebook has their own currency called the Libra. It's backed by a basket of currencies composed of 50% dollars, 14% yen, 11% sterling pounds, and 7% Singapore dollars. You know, that to me is just a little bit weird. Now, it's not without historical precedent, for companies and corporations to have their own internal script, but it shows a sort of an alarming degree of ego going on over there in Facebook management here. And this gets back to another case involving Facebook. This happened back during the 2016 U.S. election, and it involved a company called Cambridge Analytica, which was data mining to help support the Hillary Clinton campaign. And, they were just out there doing all this data mining and spying on us all here. Now, this story is a little bit alarming. It's out of Zero Hedge here. And they're saying that the MTA in New York is working in partnership with the Department of Homeland Security to test the effects of a biological attack in the subway system. They're going to carry out the tests in the 5 days between October 18th, that's the next Monday, and October 29th. Now, the reason this story weirds me out is the Department of Defense has already done tests on the New York subway system and how biological agents can be dispersed, and it worries me greatly that they're conducting new tests at this time when the government would really like something nasty to happen to try and regain the support or at least the fearful obedience of the American people. Getting into the issue of election fraud, this is starting to grow. This is really starting to take off. Over in Maricopa County, the election officials were under trouble because deleting the election's data is a criminal offense, and they could go to jail. So now the story has changed. They're saying they did take it off the voting machines, but they archived all the data. They just didn't bother turning it over to the Senate auditors, figuring it wasn't relevant to what the Senate investigation was doing. And they're not saying whether deleting the files is part of the standard operating procedure. And I'm willing to bet a whole nickel that it is not here. And up in Detroit, the former police chief and gubernatorial candidate James Craig is now calling for a full forensic audit of the 2020 election. Down in Georgia, they're still fighting to get an audit done there. The Henry County Superior Court Chief Judge Brian Amaro dismissed the lawsuit brought forward by Voter GA and Garland Favorito that alleged fraud in Georgia's most populous county during the 2020 election, and Vote GA says they will appeal that decision. Okay, up in Michigan, the residents are not backing down. There was an election integrity rally in Lansing. Hundreds of people showed up to demand the Republican-controlled legislature initiate a full forensic audit. Down in Florida, Canvas Florida has found an estimated 1.5 million phantom votes used in the 2020 election. It's just getting crazy here. Now, earlier in the week, we reported on how about half the voters think the 2020 election was rigged. The numbers are climbing steadily. The latest poll, 56% of Americans believe the 2020 election was tainted by cheating. And we got to keep getting that word on out there here. Getting into COVID-19, over in France, their Senate has rejected by a large majority a bill calling for mandatory vaccination. So, vive la revolution, vive la liberté, and we'll be back after these words from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Forced to carry his own cross while we drive nails in his coffin. You might say it is routine. It happens far too often. A decorated soldier, veteran of the war. Who would have thought that he would be among the sick and poor? Preacher man waxes.
Welcome back to our show. Well, this is the part of the program where I remind you that Republic Broadcasting Network needs your ongoing support to keep on doing what we're doing in these very troubling times. So once again, the postal address where you can send a check, money order, or if you prefer anonymity cash, is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can make a credit or debit card donation is 800-724-2719, extension 3. Now remember, if you mail in a donation of $100 or more, you will get your choice of an official RBN coffee mug or an official RBN t-shirt. So include a return address, and if you want the t-shirt, we need your t-shirt size. So the network thanks you. Thank you for all your support, keeping us going and doing what we are doing. All right, we're talking about COVID-19 and the vaccines and so forth. Over in Waterford, Ireland, 99.7% of the adults are fully vaccinated, and yet COVID is surging out of control. There seems to be an interesting correlation where the more vaccinated a population becomes, the greater the number of COVID infections. That's not the way it's supposed to work. It's supposed to work the other way around here. All right. Over in Australia, which has definitely sunk into the matrix, if you will, their northern territory has now imposed the strictest vaccine mandate in the world. Those who have not got the vaccine by November 13th will be fined by $5,000. And I'm kind of wondering how the Aborigines are going to pay a $5,000 fine. A big pile of kangaroo pelts or something? Not really well thought through. Okay, anyway, another Tucker Carlson video in which he takes Joe Biden to task for trying to claim that unvaccinated Americans are the root cause of all the country's problems. And yes, Biden was really out there saying, oh yes, it's all them in here. And yeah, the unvaccinated created the border crisis. The unvaccinated botched the Afghanistan withdrawal. The unvaccinated suspended deportations. The unvaccinated pushed the green agenda that destroyed jobs. The unvaccinated put drag queen story hour and pornographic books into the public schools. The unvaccinated destroyed our energy independence by shutting down the Keystone XL pipeline. Gosh darn, those vaccine unvaccinated people, they are just really a pain here, according to Biden here. Now, up in Canada... They celebrate their Thanksgiving a little earlier than we do. And in New Brunswick, right after a Thanksgiving church service, the police and health officials arrested the pastor and padlocked the church, saying that the number of people who had showed up to worship exceeded the so-called COVID-19 health limit. And so, yeah, this COVID-19 is definitely being used in as an excuse to get us used to totalitarian culture. All righty. Now, a little reminder. While back, the corporate media was saying the FDA has approved the COVID vaccine, blah, 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 blah. And it turned out what the FDA actually approved was a vaccine called Comirnaty. Now, Comirnaty is not available in the United States, and that means all the vaccines still being used in this country are experimental gene therapies being administered under emergency use authorization, and they are not FDA approved. And you need to keep that in mind when we talk about what's going on and all the damage being caused by them. Up in Chicago... The head of the police officers union is calling on their members to defy the city's requirement to report their COVID-19 vaccination status by Friday or be placed on unpaid leave. I mean, the criminals in Chicago are going to have a field day when that happens. You know, it's going to be open season on the citizens of Chicago when all those police, you know, just stay at home here. Over in Massachusetts, they're getting ready to lay off a large chunk of their correctional officers. These are the officers who work in the prisons and keep the prisoners imprisoned and so forth. And Massachusetts is getting ready to fire or force the resignation of half the state's correctional officers. And the legislative liaison for the Massachusetts Correction Officers Federated Union, Kevin Flanagan, said, you know, with all due respect to the National Guard, they're not trained to be correctional officers, and they're not going to be able to handle the job. And that is an issue that spreads beyond the prison system. Every time some government says we're going to fire these health workers or that thing or whatever, we'll bring in the National Guard. The National Guard aren't trained to do those jobs. And that's going to lead to even more problems. Now, yesterday we reported, oh, my goodness, how time flies when you're having fun. We'll be right back.
True. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey there, are you gonna wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
Okay, welcome back to our show. We're still talking about COVID-19 and the vaccines. Down in Texas, as you're already aware, Governor Greg Abbott issued an executive order banning the vaccine mandates for both public and private entities. And some companies in Texas are defying Governor Abbott and saying we're going to support Biden's mandate, which is really little more than a press release, and it certainly does not have any legal foundation to it. But a lot of other employers are saying, yeah, we're going to stop with the vaccine mandate. And as a result, there are all these employees who were fired for refusing to get the vaccine. They're demanding to get their jobs back. We reported yesterday on how this people let go from this Methodist hospital are demanding to be returned here. And a reminder, under the 10th Amendment, and contrary to what Jen Psaki has been trying to sell over there in the White House, federal law does not supersede state law in matters like this. And, you know, the president is not allowed to rule the country just at whim. Technically, an executive order only applies to the executive branch, not to other people and entities within the countries here. Now, the other day, we were talking about how this pilot on a Delta commercial flight died in mid-flight after being fully vaccinated. And I was wondering if the crash that occurred in San Diego, that pilot might have suffered a stroke or something, because air traffic control was talking to him the entire time the plane was starting to come down, and they got no reply. So something definitely happened there. And I'm not the only person who's questioning this. Over at BitChute, they had a video basically saying there is an epidemic of plane crashes linked to the COVID-19 jab. And they're saying as more pilots get the vaccination, you will start to see more strokes, clots, and seizures during flights. And that means if you are flying commercial, you are playing Russian roulette. The pilots are starting to come forward and saying, yeah, we're not going to take the vaccine. And, you know, air travel is going to shut down, and it's going to further damage the economy. And it's a reminder, we are not a well-managed nation. Alrighty. United Airlines recently tried to put their employees who refused the vaccination on unpaid leave. A Texas judge blocked that. United Airlines turned around and said, okay, if we can't put them on unpaid leave, they are fired. And so that's going to get ugly. Meanwhile, over at American Airlines, they had to cancel 230 flights because of their pilots walking out over the vaccine mandate. So this is definitely spreading. Now, over at the Tourism Suppression Agency, the TSA, they're looking at a vaccine mandate deadline just days before the Thanksgiving holiday, which is one of the busiest travel times of the entire year. And that means that there's going to be a lot of chaos at those security gates because they're not going to have the staff to operate them. I mean, they'll probably send the National Guard into that as well. But sooner or later, they're going to run out of National Guards people here. Alrighty. And we've seen this one happen before. Over at ABC News, their Facebook page, they requested people to basically post any stories if they lost unvaccinated loved ones to COVID-19. And the page was flooded by reports of people who lost loved ones to the vaccine itself. This is not the first time this has happened. The news media is out there just trying to find stories of the unvaccinated dying so they can keep the fear porn going, and it backflashes on them really, really badly. All right. Over in Arkansas, Governor Asa Hutchinson has allowed a new law to go into effect that will allow employees to opt out of vaccine mandates by proving they have acquired immunity to the virus by going through the illness, or they can submit a negative COVID-19 test. So the pushback is continuing. And again, we're getting more and more confirmation of this story from Dr. Pierre Corey, that 100 to 200 congressional representatives and their staff and families were treated with ivermectin. And, you know, but you're not allowed to have that. And it sort of reminded me, in the former Soviet Union, they had a two-tier medical system. Now, the one for the elites had access to the best medicines and treatments, a lot of them coming from other countries. The regular population had very limited medical options. It sounds a lot like what we've got going on here. Now, earlier in the week, we reported on how the CEO of Pfizer is good buddies with Joe Biden, and is basically trying to lobby Biden to block any efforts to bring pharmaceutical prices under control. And that may be the reason for this story coming out of Daily Poster talking about Xavier Becerra, who is Joe Biden's Health and Human Services Secretary. He was supposed to be lowering drug prices, but he hasn't. And so, again, the almighty Benjamin is controlling your life, and it's politics and it's corruption, and people are getting sick and dying because of it. And, you know, there are people who literally cannot afford their insulin. The price is so high now, it's like buying a PlayStation every single month if you are a diabetic. All right, getting to the international news here. Over in Sweden, they are getting ready to pass a law that will criminalize support for Palestine. And they also are going to criminalize any criticism of Israel, any criticism of the apartheid state. And they're saying they're doing this to combat anti-Jewish bigotry, which, you know, Israel has hidden behind that for a long time. Oh, you know, Israel never did anything wrong. People just complain because they hate the Jewish people, which is like saying that the only reason people complain about the Nazis is they hate Germans. It's kind of silly if you really think about it here. Over in Palestine, it is the olive harvest season. And photos are getting on out showing the brutal Israeli treatment of activists and farmers during the olive harvest. And one of the photos showed an armed Israeli soldier surrounded by other soldiers standing on the back of a Palestinian man as he lay face down on the ground in his own, you know, grove of olive trees. And activists and local farmers who were witnesses said that the man who in the photo, Mohammed Al-Khatib, was violently beaten, kicked, and punched in the face by the Israeli soldiers before he was thrown on the ground and dragged across the rocky terrain before he was stepped on, blindfolded, and taken into custody. But of course, you know, the only reason anybody complains about that is they hate the Jewish people here. Okay, Secretary of State Anthony Blinken met with Israeli Foreign Minister Yair Lapid yesterday, and ahead of the meeting, a State Department official told reporters that Blinken planned to warn Lapid against cooperating with China, as the United States is increasingly unhappy over its top recipient of military aid doing business with its newly declared top adversary. And there is a legitimate concern there, because Israel has been caught taking all this new technology they are given by the United States, reverse engineering it, and then selling it to countries who really do not like us. So that is a pattern there. And there is a concern. Meanwhile, U.S. officials are rattling their sabers even harder, saying they're weighing all options if talks with Iran fail. And so they're, you know, they're threatening. And at a joint press conference with his Israeli and UAE counterparts in Washington, Anthony Blinken warned time is running out for Iran to return to the talks. We are prepared to turn to other options if Iran does not change course. And these consultations with our allies and partners are a part of that. Now, Iran has already said they will come back to the talks as soon as the United States drops the sanctions they originally promised they were going to drop with the original Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. And that seems perfectly reasonable to me. So, anyway. Meanwhile, Israel is claiming the right to strike Iran at any moment to prevent it from obtaining nuclear weapons. And I know I've said this before, but I'm going to mention it again. Israel has been claiming that Iran is on the doorstep of nuclear weapons for the last 30 years. Okay, and no nuclear weapons yet. And nobody's found any evidence. The only evidence Iran was pursuing nuclear weapons was the so-called laptop of death, which turned out to be an elaborate hoax, because real nuclear engineers, nuclear scientists, weapons scientists, looked at all the charts and graphs and everything that were on this laptop and said, this is a joke. It just copied this stuff off the internet, and none of it makes any sense. So, anyway. And again yesterday, Secretary of State Blinken said the U.S. position on Syria is to basically block the country's reconstruction, and they refuse to support any attempts at normalization with the government of Bashar al-Assad. So still keeping the belligerents there. They're basically saying there must be regime change in Damascus, and then we'll be friendly. Well, look how long the United States tried to bring about regime change in Damascus. And that's definitely in the we lost that one column. Over in Lebanon, there is an escalation of violence. Protesters in Beirut were being killed, and there were six people killed by gunfire earlier today as protesters demanded the removal of the lead investigator into last year's blast at the docks. And they're talking, it could be a civil war there. Apparently the guy investigating that explosion has not come up with answers that people really want to hear. Alrighty, apparently the Indian Army, that's India next to Pakistan, they're gearing up for a harsh winter at the border with China, and it is going to be a harsh winter. Alrighty, getting into the economic news here, and people are still very angry over what amounts to a permanent IRS audit on all of our personal accounts. And, the Democrats are out there saying they merely want to ask a few millionaires and billionaires to pay their fair share. Well, you don't need to be looking at my account when I spend $601 on a new sofa to get the millionaires and billionaires to pay their fair share. And, most of the billionaires and millionaires' money is offshore anyway and immune from your surveillance. You know, it's really what it comes on down to. Now, let's see. I had a little more about that here. And, okay. All right, here we go. A little tweet from Eric Metheny. I don't care how American citizens spend $600. In this economy, it's just not a lot of money. And neither should the IRS. What we should be concerned about is how you come into Congress earning $174,000 a year, and 25 years later, you have a net worth of $100 million. I agree. That should be investigated. And meanwhile, the current estimated holdings of American billionaires and millionaires offshore is $11.2 trillion. That's with a T. So that $600 thing, that is not about the millionaires and billionaires. It's about keeping watch on you to make sure you're not buying things the government doesn't want you to have, like guns. Okay. So anyway, getting on back to the international news, I made a mistake in my talking points here. China and India are locked in a clash that goes far beyond a few kilometers of disputed land. Basically, China and India have a long history of distrust and enmity that is fueling the tensions around the border. And so there's a lot of mutual hatred there that is powering this confrontation here. The United States Navy, which, by the way, is getting ready to start kicking out naval personnel who refuse the vaccine at a time when they really don't have enough people to run those ships. The U.S. Navy is going to deploy the USS Miguel Keith. This is an expeditionary staging base designed to transport large quantities of equipment and serve as a floating base for helicopters and hovercraft. It looks like a small aircraft carrier about the size of a World War II aircraft carrier, and they're sending it to basically keep station off of Okinawa, you know, to make sure those evil Chinese don't do anything here. Meanwhile, the U.S., Japan, Australia, and India are holding joint naval exercises in the Bay of Bengal. So everybody is in a dress rehearsal for the major upcoming war. Meanwhile, a Russian-led security bloc that includes some countries adjacent or close to Afghanistan are going to hold military drills near the Afghan border in Tajikistan from October 22nd through the 23rd. It's a very short drill, but again, everybody is practicing. They know what's coming here. Now, we reported how U.S. Undersecretary of State Victoria Nuland went over to Russia to try and talk to them, and the talks did not go very well. And what we're hearing is that Russia, like France, is very upset over the Australia, British, U.S. triad, if you will, And they basically says it's going to undermine the security architecture in the Asia Pacific. It's a very destabilizing development. Meanwhile, over in Belarus, they are threatening social media users with 7 years in jail just for following opposition social media accounts and news sites online. And I'll bet you Nancy Pelosi started grinning when she saw that one. Okay, we got to take another break for commercials, and we'll be back after these few words.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. And click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central, and Wednesday at 1 Central.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no way, can't draw no pay.
Welcome back to our show here, and before we get back to the news, this is still news. I'm seeing this very alarming report just came through on one American news network. Facebook is going to implement a system to protect public figures, meaning entertainers, politicians, and so forth and so on, so they can't be criticized by anybody on their platform. Facebook has become really kind of useless, and it's amazing. All right, back to the international news here. On October 5th, the U.S. State Department announced that the U.S. military's arsenal of nuclear weapons numbered 3,750 as of September 30th of last year. It was stated with satisfaction that this number represents an approximate 88% reduction in the stockpile from its maximum 31,255 at the end of the fiscal year 1967. It wasn't mentioned that the reduction since 2018 was only 35 systems. And there's still enough out there to really rock and roll the world. Now, the reality is that, like anything else, nuclear weapons do have a lifespan. They don't last forever. Those fissionable and fusionable materials inside the bombs decay over time. That's what makes them radioactive. They decay, and after a while, they sort of de-enrich themselves, and when they get past a certain age, there's no guarantee they'll go bang and they're taken out of service and reprocessed here. Okay, now there is a Democratic Congresswoman, Elaine Luria, and she wants a debate over the Republican-sponsored Taiwan Invasion Prevention Act. And this bill would no longer require the president to consult with Congress first before responding to a clear threat against Taiwan. Now, this is completely unconstitutional because in the Constitution, only Congress can declare war. Now, under the War Powers Act, the president can deploy the military for a limited amount of time, but then he has to make the case to Congress to continue the operation. And, we're hearing all these people out there saying, well, let Biden do whatever he wants, you know, which seems to be an attitude among Democrats, whether it's bombing China or opening the border or forcing vaccine mandates on us all. I'll just let Biden do whatever he wants. I mean, you know, he's sharp. He's smart. He's intelligent. He knows what he's doing. Okay. Meanwhile, on the other side, Russia has declared that Taiwan is a part of China, and they are now coordinating with China to resist U.S. pressure. So we have this image of the United States coming to Taiwan's assistance and having to face not only the very powerful Chinese army, but the Russians as well. We're going to take a break from station identification. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.